Good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of the Benson Grove Baptist Hour. On behalf of Pastor Billy Cashwell and all of your friends at Benson Grove, let me welcome you to a Spirit-filled hour of singing and preaching from the Word of God. We invite you to tune in every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. right here on WCKB. You can contact us at 919-894-4120. We would love to hear from you and to know that you're listening. Now let's join the broadcast from Benson Grove.
We welcome all of you here today. Brother Billy's got a word he wants to share with you. So, Brother Billy, if you'll come. But good morning to you.
Thank you, Brother Brad. Amen. We are glad you're here. Thank you for being in camp meeting. We start this morning, and Brother Tom Gillen be preaching this morning and tonight. Tonight, the Ollis family are coming in. They'll be in. They'll be singing in the service tonight, as well as all the other great music that Brother Brad's already got lined up. We're going to have a great time. And so we camp meeting, we come to get in, we didn't come to leave. So we'll try to get you out of here as soon as we can this morning, but the rest of the camp meeting, you come and go like you want to, amen, because we come to stay, amen. We are blessed to have all of you in the service this morning. Good to have Pastor Jack Hoffman's precious wife with us, visiting with us from up Illinois, and Brother Martin and his wife over here this morning. We're sure glad that they're here, Brother John and his family. Appreciate them being here from up towards Rock Rapids, and I appreciate them being in the services here. And others that are here, we thank you for being here. Good to have Tim and Linda and Tim and back in the service this morning. Glad they're here. Miss Cindy's back. She's been out, been sick so long. I want to do this real quick before Brad comes to pray. All the preparation for camp meeting, Brother Tom and I were talking about it yesterday, that things go haywire. Miss Trudy and Miss Regina have hauled 2 pickup truck loads of stuff to feed camp meeting, put it in our commercial refrigerator back there, and this morning it's gone out. So they're scrambling around trying to find somewhere to stick everything and get everything. So you pray about that. Pray God to heal it. I prayed in the office there a while ago, God would heal it. Mitchell's going to try to check it out, but if not, we've got to have to do something. So if you want to step up and help with that. I want to mention this. Vacation Bible School's coming up. I'm doing these quick as I get that out of the way. Vacation Bible School's coming up. Thank you for those who are helping, but we need a lot more help, particularly in the meals. The meals have turned out to be a real blessing. The people can come on straight from work and work with the boys and girls, but we need some help in the kitchen. And some of us, young couples or anybody, older people, anybody, if you would please see Megan or call Megan Bullock and let her know that you can help or see her. Let's see, it's Megan here. I talked to Jan. That's Megan right there. And she, if you please get with her, you've never helped back there. It'll be a blessing. You'll get to see all the happy faces. And it's a lot of work, but it's a real ministry. So please do that. But I want us to pray, and Brad's going to come lead us in prayer. And I got this long list, and I while you're standing, but please listen carefully. In the morning, Brother Joel Moss will have hip replacement. So you will pray for him at Wake Med. On Wednesday morning, Ms. Jamone Johnson is going to have her surgery, and it's going to be at Western Wake. Please keep them in your prayers. Continue to pray for Ricky Barbers. He's having his chemo treatment. And then also for Brother Linwood. Brother Linwood Johnson is, and as he's with his situation there, keep him in your prayers. Ms. Brenda Hoyle's got to go back to the doctor tomorrow. We've got so many that have this flu or virus and various and sundry thing. Brother John and Peggy Landon, or John's on about his 3rd week of antibiotics, and so many others. But please remember all of them in prayer. But these preachers especially, I want you to remember them in prayer. Brother Roy may be watching us, but Brother Roy Rigdon, please remember Brother Roy's not going to be able to be with us in camp meeting with a heart condition and something very much like leukemia. Brother Norwood Tadlock down at Harvest Baptist Church, he's had a stroke. Brother Sam Vance, who was going to be with us this year, they found an aneurysm. He's got to have heart surgery. Brother Jack and Sarah Gassaway up in Asheville, they were planning on coming, and they've had a series of medical issues as well as some situations in their family. And he literally was just begging me yesterday, please have everybody at camp meeting to pray for him. Pray for Brother Jack and Sarah Gassaway. Brother Neil Olenek up in Maryland, we talked with him. And they were hoping to come this year. Something's come up. They couldn't get here. And they're praying they'll get here next year. But all of these requests, please remember them in prayer. We're going to have a time. Amen. Are you hungry, looking for God to bless? Say amen. 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 Brother Brad's going to lead us in prayer.
Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Oh, most gracious Heavenly Father, what a privilege we have to come into this house today to call upon your name. God, to invite you into this time of worship today. God, how we need you. Oh, God, how we need you in this place today. God, I pray that we not take any step further in today's activities, God, until you show up in this place. God, I pray, Lord, that your presence would fall down in here like never before. God, we proclaim that you are welcome here. God, come in and move. God, come in and take over, oh God. Please change hearts and lives for all of eternity. God, we need you today. This week, Lord, if you grant us the next moment, the next breath, and of course, throughout this week, we need you. God, visiting ministers, visiting pastors and preachers and evangelists, and God, they need you this week. Spouses of those individuals, God, need you this week. And Lord, we're asking for a time of refreshing, God, like never before. Lord, I pray that you would prepare the hearts of those at Benson Grove, God, to be prepared to serve this week, God, to be able to give of themselves, God, to invest themselves into those that are sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And God, and may they be, may those soldiers of the cross be benefited this week. God, may we as a body continue to lift up high the bloodstained banner of our Savior. And God, and may we honor you in this time of worship today. God, I pray that you would save to the uttermost all that will call upon your name in this time of worship today. And God, and if you allow us to meet the rest of this week, God, somebody, please save. God, I pray that you would change lives, God, for those that have been backslidden. God, those that have turned their back on you and walked away, and God, would you bring them back to the place they ought to be? As the choir comes to sing in just a moment, Lord, we'll sing a song about your grace and your mercy. Oh, God, how where would we be without those things today? God, bless Brother Tom today, Lord, as he enters this pulpit. God, I prayed your presence would fall down in him today. God, that we would hear from heaven directly through him today. And God, that you've given the words that need to be applied to our hearts and to our lives. God, we don't need just a formality today. God, help us to have the real deal here today. God, may people's hearts be in tune with heaven today. May there be a harmony about your people and you today. God, help us, oh God, in this place. We pray a special blessing on those who could not be here. God, you heard our pastor just mention the brothers that are falling down at the moment, Lord, with things going on in them physically. And God, and I pray that you would touch them. God, I pray for our church family, Lord, those that are experiencing sickness and so forth. God, there's just so many things going on around about us. And God, I pray that you touch our family. But God, that you'd use this body, God, to come along beside them, be a help, blessing, encouragement to them so that we can do what your word says, to lift up and edify the saints. But God, in this time of worship today, I pray that you'd be glorified and you'd be exalted among your people and that you'd have your way. We cannot have church today unless it's by your way. We love you, Lord, and we give this time to you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's children said. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Miss Regina is going to be on the green mic there, Matthew, but Miss Regina is going to lead us in a song this morning. I just want to read you the first verse, if you allow me, and it's entitled Only by Grace. And it says, not a single thing of merit could I claim as my own, for sin caused separation between the Savior and my soul. But the blood poured out at Calvary washed away the guilt I bore. Well, now I stand in full forgiveness, a child of God forevermore. I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. He took your place. If you're here today and you're able to open your eyes and you're able to take a deep breath of air today and you've been trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're here today because of his grace. You're here today because of his mercy. And I pray that you'll just reflect on how good he's been to you, even when the things you've done in your life, even when you just think about that. I know I can, but just listen to the words of this song as Miss Regina leads us this morning.
I have been saved, not a word.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we praise you and we thank you for your marvelous grace. And God, I pray that, Lord, that's something that we never get over. And God, we never take for granted. Lord, we're a blessed people today and we look to honor you now as we give back to you of our offerings and your tithes. May you bless both the gift and the giver and multiply these things as you see fit. So ultimately, Lord, it's your kingdom that continues to grow. We love you and we praise you and we ask that you bless your man. And once again, Lord, we call upon you to bless your man as he brings your word in this place today. Bless him, Lord, and speak through him. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, touch through me. Holy Spirit, touch through me. Let my reach out to others, touch through me. There's a lonely soul somewhere needing just one friend to care. Touch through me. Touch through me, and love through me. Holy Spirit, love through me. I will be my brother's keeper. Love through me. Hearts are bleeding deep inside. Love can dry their weeping eyes. So love through me, Holy Spirit. Love through me.
Yes, amen. Thank God for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we appreciate you being here. We are so blessed this week once again to have Brother Tom Gillum and his precious wife Beth with us. Brother Tom in April started his 26th year in full-time evangelism, having pastored several years before that. But he's always a blessing. Will you make welcome back to Benson Grove Baptist Church, Brother Tom Gillum from Winterville, Georgia. Amen.
Okay. If you have a Bible this morning, you'll find our text in John's Gospel. It's a joy to be back here again at Benson Grove. And thank the Lord for the privilege to be here many, many times. And appreciate your pastor and his friendship over the years. It is in my heart in these five services, of course. Many of you know I preach in a series, and of course Brother Billy can testify to this. Series preaching often comes from strange and mysterious places, that it is birthed in the heart of an individual. And it is so with this series that I want to share with you these days. I was in a service some time ago, and the preacher prefaced his remarks with a question. Are you simple enough? Are you simple enough? And I guess in less than 30 minutes, I had the skeleton to five sermons. And with that thought in mind, are you simple enough? And I immediately went to a little phrase that appears in the Bible. Over thousands and thousands of years of Bible history, they're not all in the same area of Bible history. There's a little phrase that is repeated five times in our English version of the Bible. This one thing. And all five of these Bible characters join the simplicity club. Of course, you can see immediately there's not many members. So you could join this morning if you would be interested. Of course, we're very complex beings. Oh, my. We're probably one of the first generations to be as busy as we've ever been doing nothing as we ever were. Very complex. We just have layers and layers and layers of complexity. But if you're going to live the simple life, you must simplify your life down. It's awful deep. I don't even know if you can get it. Maybe way over your head. One thing. Simplicity of being simple. And I want to begin this morning with one of the members of this club, John's Gospel, chapter number 9. You're well aware that John said he wrote his gospel, he says at the back door of it, that you may believe. That was the reason why he wrote this gospel. It is in this gospel that there are 7 miracles performed. One of those miracles is performed on our Simplicity Club member here in John chapter number 9. All 7 of these miracles, if, and that is a big if, you're going to heaven, you must have experienced all 7 of these miracles. Or as the Nazarene preacher said, you ain't going. One of those is mentioned here in John chapter number 9, and I want to use it this morning as the simplicity of deliverance. You know, salvation is a very simple thing at the core, but it is a very complex thing when what's examined. Notice this simplicity of deliverance. And I asked you the question this morning, not to examine the person sitting over here or the person sitting over there, but the person sitting here. Have you ever experienced the simplicity of deliverance? Beginning to read in John 9 and verse number 1, the Bible says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind. Do you have any historical recollection of ever being blind spiritually? You say, preacher, I can't remember. Make yourself a note. I'm going to hell when this is over with. Are you listening to me this morning? I'm just trying to make this simple. Must have been blind spiritually at some time in your life. He says he was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did seeing, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is today. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle. He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sin. And he went his way therefore and washed, and 3 days later he could see. They say that in your Bible? It doesn't even say that in the Living Bible. Immediately, he could see. Several verses later, verse number 24, he is confronted by the Pharisees, the religious crowd of that day. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man, talking about Jesus, is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be sinner or no, I know not. Hey, watch it. He's fixing to join the Simplicity Club. Hey, if you want a guy to come in and do a men's retreat and you want him to give you testimony and you want him to be brief, call this guy in. He's got a very short testimony. It isn't a long one. Here it is. He said, this one thing I know, that where I was blind, now I can see. Amen. Boy, I wish God would fill a Baptist church with people that have got that testimony. Amen. Are you listening to me this morning? He said, I don't know all that religious stuff. He said, I don't even know how to sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. He said, the only thing I know is I'm blind, now I can see. As we begin to unpack this text this morning, I notice in our text the need for deliverance. The need for deliverance. I notice for this man, and if you're saved this morning, at some time or another, you being saved was an impossible need. It was impossible. The Bible tells us in verse 1 that this man was blind from birth. I was interested in that little word, blind. It's a very interesting word. Of course, we think of it was sightless. He couldn't see. But one of the old writers said this little word blind can be interpreted in the original language as without pupils. Whoa, this thing's worse than I thought. God ain't got nothing to work with. Oh, you know, if he had pupils, at least God could get them to start working, but he ain't got nothing to work with. Oh, wow, there is an impossible need. Of course, the Bible tells us in other places that a lost man is a deaf man. He can't hear, has no ability to hear. You can talk to him till you're blue in the face. You can take him down every road you can think of, but until God lets him hear, he ain't gonna hear jack. He's deaf. He's dumb. The Bible says he's dead. Well, he is in a state of spiritual stone cold dead. No ability to come. I love what old Lester Roloff said about it. Old Lester Roloff said, we're so depraved
and so dead and so dark and our sinner before God saved us. Old Roloff said, had we have been born adults like Adam and Eve, we would have come out of our mother full grown like adults. Old Roloff said, we were so wicked at our core. He said, we had the potential of grabbing a scalpel in the delivery room and slitting the throat of the doctor that delivered us. I don't know how you feel about it. We's in pretty bad shape. You say, preacher, God saved me. I was a pretty good person. You can make yourself a note. God ain't never saved you. He don't save good people. He sends all good people to hell. The only people he saves is sinners, and he gets them all off the bottom. Impossible need. Hey, old sinner ain't a fixer-upper. Oh, no, little whitewash, a little paint, he'll be all right. Little turn of a new leaf. No. Blind. No pupils. God didn't have nothing to work with. Not only do I see it's an impossible need, but I see it's an inside need. He says in chapter 9 in verse 3, you see, neither was this man sin nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made. What? Manifest in him. Old sinner. He don't need nothing done out here. Oh, he don't need no new leaf turned over. Surely he don't need a Baptist church. Oh, no. Might make him worse. He needs something to be done inside here. He needs Christ to be, he says in the text, manifest. That little word manifest means plainly recognized, understood, thoroughly clear to know who he is. Has there ever been an occasion in your life where you had no idea, spiritually blind about God, and all of a sudden he made himself clear inside of you and he got bigger than all of life inside of you? You ever had anything like that happen? It's called biblical salvation. The simplicity of deliverance. It is an inside need. It is an impossible need. But I love this. I hate to even show you this. I know you ain't gonna believe it. It's so big, it's just hard to believe. But there is an infusing need. The Bible says in chapter 9 and verse 6 that Jesus spit on the ground. Nasty. Do you know most heathen sinners, they hate the gospel as much as they would hate somebody spitting in their face. Jesus is fixing to spit in this boy's face. He says he made mud pies of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. I was extremely interested in that. He mentions clay. It's an awful interesting word because it's a very similar word that is used over in Genesis when he talks about when he made man. He said he made us of the clay. Did you ever? I hate to think that I might be the first one that ever tells you that you ain't nothing but dirt. You may be cute dirt, but you're dirt. And you shall return to the dirt. You can take your vitamins, you can take your herbs, you can drink all your Plexus if you want to do, and you can walk around the block until you're dizzy-headed. You're still going back to the dirt. So he's got clay here, and he spits in the clay. If you've ever done one of these tree genealogies, and I have never done one. I ain't gonna do one. I've got she's a distant niece on the website. She's always doing, going down all kind of routes that the Gillums had. I took a peekaboo back there one time, and there's some scary things back there. I left that alone. But if they're going to do one of those on you, they want to swab the inside of your mouth. How come? They want some of your spit. But this is not just any spit he's going to infuse into this clay. This is deity spit. This is God spit. That's exactly what biblical salvation is, that God stepped inside of us, manifested himself inside of us, and put his DNA in his blood inside of us and birthed us into the family of God. Wow. We ought to stop right there and shout. And some of you ain't never ever said amen. Fusing need that God did that. You ever experienced anything like that in your life? Arthur Pink said, we are born spiritually dead, cannot be restored without a miracle of, Brother Brad, here's your song here. Without a miracle of grace, without a miracle of grace. Pink said, no sinner ever came to Christ until the Holy Spirit first came to him. Sister, your little song here, let Spirit flow through me. Old Pink said, you never get saved unless you were raised from the dead by the Spirit. Watch him now. He said first that the Holy Spirit first came to you. No sinner will savingly believe Christ until the Spirit has communicated the gift of faith to him and in him. You can't get saved apart from God. Doing what? Spitting inside of you. Putting his DNA inside of you and birthing you into the family of God. The need of deliverance. But watch our text. Notice the noise around this deliverance in our text. Oh, how defensive we get when God does something we don't understand or can't explain. First thing they say when they don't understand it is, well, I know one thing. I don't understand that, so I don't believe it. I can't explain it, so I don't believe it. I don't know about you. There's a lot of things that I believe that I don't understand, can't explain. You ever been able to explain how they get all them people in that TV box? I tell you, millions of people are coming through a little old cord thing. Ain't much bigger. I was noticing that one over there at the motel. A cord on that thing ain't much bigger than that, and they're sending millions of people through there. Man, they were showing them people down there. Man, they had them down there in Mexico. There's just thousands of people coming through that little old cord. How in the world do they do that? I don't know! But I ain't scared of a remote. Are you listening to me this morning? Things we can't explain, can't understand by religion. Notice the text. I noticed there was some relationship noise. They asked his neighbors what he thought about this. Look at verse 8. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, is not this he that said and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, I don't know if that's him or not. That other fella didn't have no eyeballs. And this fella said, I'm just not sure. Why didn't they say, the only thing I know is that he couldn't see and now he can't. He was blind. Now he can see. Oh, questioning reasoning, can't figure it out. The neighbor said, I just don't know. Of course, you know what they did. They did the stupidest thing you could do. They took him to religion. Gonna see what the church fathers have to say. Who gives a flip what a preacher has to say about it if he was blind and now he could see? Huh? He says there in our text, verse 18, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that been blind. They said up in verse 10, therefore said they unto him, how are thine eyes open? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received my sight. That's all he knows. See, religion, if they can't understand it, and they can't explain it. If they can't understand the message and they can't explain the message, the first thing they want to do is attack the messenger. Are you listening to me this morning? Oh, they've taken him to religion. Then this relationship noise. I notice in verses 18 through 22, they go and talk to his mom and daddy. Gracious. They're surely going to have his back. Gracious, ain't no mother going to turn against her boy if he was blind and now he can see. Surely they got his back. I guarantee you, they're good old fundamental King James Baptists. They'll have his back. Let's see if they do or not. Verse 18. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that had been blind, received his sight, till they called the parents of him that had received his sight. They asked him, saying, is this your son, who you say was born blind? How doth he now see? His parents answered him and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, asked him. He speak for himself. Why didn't they speak up? Why didn't they give the testimony? Oh, we don't know anything about this, but we do know this one thing. He's blind. Now he can see. I tell you why. Look at verse 22. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. They're afraid of what the brethren will say. You know, the brethren, when they look down your nose and you're not jumping up and down in their little old bushel basket, you're not singing like they're singing, you're not dressing like they're dressing, you're not doing exactly like they want you to do. Are you listening to me this morning? They were afraid. Gracious, that could be the best thing ever happened to them if they got thrown out of the synagogue. It's relationship noise. But can I expand upon this religious noise? If you've got your Bible there this morning, chapter 9 and verse 16. How come these Pharisees didn't line up with this boy and say, boy, the only thing we know, this boy was blind, now he can see. Watch the text, look at verse 16. Therefore says some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others says, how can this man that is a sinner do such miracles? They're attacking the messenger now. There was a division among them, and they said unto him, that was the man that blind again, why, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. The Jews not believe concerning him, and he had been blind and received his sight, till they called the parents. Why did they not back him up? Answer to your question in verses 13 and 14. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, and it was when? Don't you love it when Jesus crosses his T's, dots his I's? He's even going to do this miracle on Saturday to mess the hound up on them. I don't know if that was right, what he did or not. He has broken one of the 6,000 facets of the Jewish law. He spit on the ground and made clay on Saturday. He made spit and he made clay from the very creation. I guess he could play with it on Saturday if he wanted to. But they were so religious. Isn't that the reason why God blowed a hole in religion when he changed the worship day from Saturday to Sunday? He blowed the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Seventh-day Adventists. He blowed them all to smithereens. One of the greatest things that could ever happen to religion, Baptists included, is that God would blow it all up. And we would be left with what? This is awful deep. I don't know if you can get it or not. One thing, and that's Him. Oh, I'm talking about the noise around deliverance. There was religious noise, relationship noise. But I noticed there was reviling noise. Verse number 28, then they reviled Him. This is the boy that has received his sight. Gracious, I don't know about you. It seemed like you'd want to have that old boy in, have a little congratulation party for him, pat him on the back. Son, they reviled him. I was interested in that little word, revile. It means to vilify, to heap abuse upon, to rail upon, all done by verbal words. Hey, that little stupid little quote we learned in school, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's the biggest lie that ever been told. Greatest hurt I've ever had, some words come out of somebody's mouth. Are you listening to me? Reviling him. They're attacking him. How come? They can't explain it. They can't understand it. So what do? Attack the messenger. I guarantee it goes on right here at this church. Don't like something the preacher says, you know how you cut it off? Attacked him. Have him for lunch and he ain't there. Hello. Verse 27. I love his response. It's crazy. He answered them, I have told you already and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear again? He said, would y'all like to be his disciples? Son, you talking about their heads exploding. He said, y'all want to become one of his followers? Verse 31, now we know that God heareth not sinners. He said, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. He said, since the world began, was it not heard of any man opening the eyes of one that was born blind? No one has ever gotten pupils in their eyes and being able to see again. No history on that. Then they make this bold statement, verse 33. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They said, there's only one person that can give blinded eyes sight. He'd have to be God Almighty. Isn't that who he claimed to be? He claimed to be the creator of the universe. He claimed to be God Almighty. He's given sight to this boy. Simplicity of deliverance. Could I mention in closing this morning the narrative of this deliverance? The narrative of this deliverance. The greatest argument for you being sure that you're saved this morning is not some road you went down. Romans Road, German Road, French Road, matters not. Doesn't matter about what prayer you prayed. Doesn't matter whether you were on one knee, both knees, or standing up. The question is, has there ever been a time when you were blind and now you can see? They say in verse 24, then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know this man. They said, this Jesus guy, this Jesus guy is a sinner. Verse 25, he answered and said unto them, whether he is a sinner or no. He said, I don't know. Hey, this may mess up all your theology. This old boy can see, and he don't even know Jesus. Wow, I thought you needed to know Jesus in order to see. No. He don't even know Jesus. He ain't got a clue who he is. He says, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. He says, all I know is this one thing. Oh, the simplicity of deliverance. He says, I was in blind, including not having any pupils, including being deaf, dumb, dead, can't speak. He says, but now, I wonder this morning, not being nosy, God forbid I'd stick my nose in your business. Do you have a now moment? A time when you can look back to and say, I don't know exact second, I don't know the exact minute, I maybe don't have the date down, but there was a time in my life when I was blind. Now, I can see. I can see. I'm talking about the narrative. Oh, God, would you raise up people at Benson Grove that wouldn't talk about what they did or didn't do? Would they be able to just simplify it to this? Preacher, I don't know about all that religion stuff. Only thing I know is one day I was blind. Now I can see. I preached this entire message this morning to get right here. I want to close this message this morning with not only the need for deliverance. It's a great need if you're a sinner. No pupils, dead, blind, deaf, dumb. There's the noise, all kind of noise around the great thing of salvation. I was thinking about it, Brad, when y'all was singing about grace. The year 1700, John Newton never preached a sermon at the only parish, a little old parish that he pastored in England, the only parish. He never preached a sermon on Sunday. He didn't write a song to go with it. He always wrote a song. And on New Year's Day, 1700, is the Sunday that he preached on the grace of God. And he wrote his great song on the grace of God. Aren't you glad he did not entitle it Understanding Grace? No. Do you remember what he called it? He called it Amazing Grace. He said, I ain't got no understanding for it. He said, all the thing I know. He said, one time I was blind and now I can see. I close in this text with the news to the delivered. The Bible says in verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. They threw this old boy out of church. Wow, this is the greatest thing that ever happened to him. He got kicked out of religion. You know, that is the only time that Jesus will pick you up is when religion gives up on you. Here, it cast him out. When he had found him, verse 35, he said unto him, doest thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord? He don't even know who Jesus is. Got a clue. Some of you know all about Jesus. Still gonna go to hell when you die. You're listening to me. It's not about what you know or you don't know. It's about whether you were blind and now you can see. Watch the text. He answered and said, who is he, Lord? Verse 36, that I might believe on him. Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh thee. And he said, Lord, time out. Hold on. I have a big problem with this text. He says here, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. I have a question for you this morning to close this message. Do you think this morning your believing, your quickening, your being raised from the deadness of your sin caused you to see? Or did your seeing, your quickening, your raising from the dead cause you to believe? Because for this old boy here, the Bible tells us clearly here in our text in verse 38, he is now believing. But can I remind you, earlier in our text in verse number 7, he said he went his way, therefore washed and came. Time out! Hold on! Did what? He could see before he believed. There is some of you sitting here this morning. You have believed in your intellect, but you still have never been given sight by God. He has never put His DNA in on you. That He has never changed you. That's why a minute ago when Brad asked you to raise your hand, how many are coming back tonight? That's why the majority of you didn't raise your hand. There has nothing ever been done on the inside of you. If God's DNA has ever been put inside of you, you've been raised from the dead. He's given you sight. This is one of the places you'd want to be. Anytime they open the doors. Are you listening to me? This thing ain't about believing. Oh, no. I tell you, preacher, if I see it, I'll believe it. Oh, that's Missouri stuff. Oh, here. I'll believe it if I see it. Here, for him, God gave him sight, and then he believed. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer. Seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding. Four sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. I ask you this morning, you ever join Simplicity Club of Deliverance? I was blind, preacher, one day. Now I can see. Know anybody this morning? Know anybody this morning? Preacher, I've talked to him. I said, preacher, I don't understand. I talk to him and it seems like they're deaf. They can't hear me. Preacher, I've talked to him and talked to him and it seems like they're just blind. They can't see it. Honey, you have come upon a great truth. That is the condition of the sinner. He is deaf. He is blind. And until God gives them sight, gives them the ability to hear and quickens them from life, they'll never believe. Maybe this morning you sense the need of that person. Maybe you'd want to get in this altar this morning. Cry out one more time to God. God, would you go to them? Would you go to them and cause them to see? Maybe you're here this morning yourself and you realize for the first time, preacher, I don't know what's happened to me since I've been sitting here. These few moments you've been preaching for, all of a sudden, I can see things clearly. I can see I was lost. It seems like I'm having an awakening. I'm having an epiphany. I can see things clearly. It's called biblical salvation. God done spit inside of you. Why don't you come and bow in this altar and believe that it be true? Would you stand this morning? Brother Brad's going to come, do whatever God leads him to do, directs him to do. Sir, ma'am, you got any family, friends, neighbors? Preacher, I tell you, I've talked to them constantly. It's like talking to a deaf person. Preacher, it's like talking to a blind person. I would wonder this morning, you got a child, grandchild? Oh, preacher, I've talked until I feel like I just blew in the face. They just don't see it. Maybe you'd want to root you out a place in this altar and pray one more time. God would go by over there where they're at. Give them sight. Give them the ability to hear. Maybe you yourself this morning realize that, my, why you've been sitting here. God's caused you to see some things. Maybe you want to get in this altar, cry out to the Lord. I don't know what the need is. God's speaking to you. Would you come? Maybe you just want to come thank Him for giving you sight and causing you to believe. You weren't born with the believing gene. No. He had to put it in you. It was a gift of God. He come in there with that spittle into that clay. Maybe you need to pray this morning. The altar's open. God's speaking to you. You do whatever He tells you to do.
Friends, you've been listening to the Benson Grove Baptist Hour. We pray this broadcast has been a blessing to you and that God's Word would speak to your heart throughout the week. If we can assist you, please call the church offices at 919-894-4120. We'd love to hear from you and to know that you're listening. We also invite you to attend the services at Benson Grove. The church is located on Highway 50, just 6 miles north of Benson. If you cannot attend in person, join our live internet broadcast every Sunday at 11 a.m. and again at 6:30 p.m. Just open your computer web browser to www.bensongrovebaptist.org. Choose the Sermons tab and follow the instructions on the screen. Join us for the Benson Grove Baptist Hour each Sunday afternoon from 2 to 3 p.m. right here on WCKB. God bless you and have a great day.